Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order, and moment now for any modifications to the agenda this evening. Mr. Ramsey?
Oh, okay.
I have two actual modifications. The first you'll notice, or just clarification, that there is no personnel report this evening on the consent agenda. We will have one next month. And also, I would like to move up. We have two guests here this evening, Lauren Eby from RBC Capital Markets and Rhonda Lord from Kegel, Kellen, Olmey & Lord. And they're here to go over a possible refinancing. And we'll, under the consent agenda, we'll be asking for a approval to approve or adopt the parameters resolution that they will go over. So I would
put that in after citizens' comment in the special presentation.
Yep.
And after student of the month.
You got it.
Okay, great. Any other modifications to the agenda this evening? Look for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Tom, and a second.
Second.
Mr. Harkins. All right, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is approved as modified. And then we will go to Mr. Sanger, but do you want to move it back? Should we do have them do the presentation just in case they?
Let's hold off.
We were the student of the month.
Mr. Sanger was told that both students would be here, so we'll give them a few minutes.
We'll do that. Yeah. This is the first. At this time, were there any residents of the school district that wished to address the board this evening? One. Okay. Hold up. And two. If you could first both, if you want to come first, you put your hand up first. Just state your name and where you reside.
Great. Yes, Jason Kaufman. Reside in Jackson Street here in the borough. And I'd just like to thank you all for what you're doing. I'd like to pray for you and our teachers and our kids. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this administration, for this school board, for all they do for this for the children. Thank you for the teachers also. God, just pray that you would bless the remainder of the year and that our children will continue to learn and just that this school would continue to flourish and honor you in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And then
Benita Stone again, just visiting once again to give you an update on the efforts that we are taking to form a school-sanctioned swim team. Just want to let you know that we are in the final stages of putting together the budget, and we should have it to you by next month. We are working on finalizing and having it reviewed by a couple people, and once that's done, we will get it to you. I do have along with me tonight Terry, who is our president for the summer swim team, and he'd like to say a few words.
Good evening. First off, I'd like to apologize for my attire. I got off vacation at 1 o'clock this afternoon, so I got Benita's emails asking me to be here yesterday afternoon. So I decided to get some information rather than worry about my attire. Just want to give you a few pieces of information about myself. He's asked about who we are. Again, my name is Terry Moeller. I'm 40 years old. I've lived in New Holland since I was 3 years old. So I'm a graduate of Garden Spot High School, Eastern Lancaster County High School. I am the president of the New Holland Dolphins Summer Swim League. I am a member of the New Holland Borough Council. So I also understand budgets, financials, things to that effect. Work in sales, so in New York City, so I also understand, but through that, my career, financials, information, money. So what I thought would be the most important thing for me to give you guys tonight is just some factual information. This is not my information, this is information from the website, which is all from reputable information. I'll tell you where it all comes from. Just want to give you an idea of why this is so important to our community, in my perspective, and why it seems to be an extremely growing sport. The 2014 summer swim registration for the summer team sits at 92 kids in the first 3 weeks, with 5 weeks of registration still remaining, with 34 swimmers from last year's team still not registered. In 2013, team had 103 swimmers, and we're projecting a team total in 2014 between 120 and 130 kids, with those kids who still haven't registered not being on board, and we'll get a few more newer kids. That was an increase of around 20% in 1 year for the summer swim league. 24% of our team are ages 12 to 18, which will be in grades 7th to 12th. As colleges start to look at extracurricular activities, it becomes difficult to invest time into a sport not recognized by a school. This, in turn, does not get recognized by college recruiters, by people coming out saying, you're not involved with school-sanctioned activities, because swimming is not a school-sanctioned activity. I can tell you my daughter swims 10 months out of the year. She goes during the school year. She comes home, does her homework, and she's driving. Before, she was driving into Lancaster, and that's before a two-hour swim practice, four nights a week. Swimming is a 24/365 activity. So it's hard for kids to get those extracurricular activities that are school-sanctioned, that the college recruiters are looking for, when they're investing in something like swimming. I know Benita is going to be giving all of you, if she hasn't already, a personal invitation to come see our Division II championship meet this coming summer. I'm hoping this is going to be an eye-opener for all of you to understand what swimming is all about in Lancaster County. Please understand that there will be close to 1,000 swimmers at our event. There are also two other equal events, Division I and Division III, going on the same day in Lancaster County. So that's around 3,000 kids swimming in Lancaster County alone. Just shows you the type of activity that swimming has become. According to the National Federation of State High School Associations, of the top 10 girls and boys sports, swimming was the third highest growing sport in 2012-2013 school year, only behind track and field and cheerleading, with over 8,000 new participants in the United States. This was the most important thing that I got out when I was reading this information today. Of the top 10 most popular sports for both boys and girls, according to the National Federation of State High School Associations, 2012-2013 athletics participation summary, swimming, just trying to read all that so you know it's not just my information coming out. The only sport listed for both boys and girls that the Eastern Lancaster County School District does not recognize as team sports is swimming. All of the other activities that the boys and girls think are the most important sports out there, the only one that's not sanctioned by Eastern Lancaster County School District is swimming. In 2012-2013, there were 315 schools in Pennsylvania to offer swimming. Darden Spot had three swimmers in last year's club, and this year we have one swimmer on our club. In Pennsylvania last year, there was 9,450 total swimmers, which averaged it out by 315 schools that offered it. It was 30 kids per team on average. According to 2014-13 High School Athletics Participation Survey, swimming has grown in the U.S. by 16.6% since 2006. No other sport is even close to that. The second largest sport is only averaged a 4% increase in that time frame, where sports like football have decreased consistently over the last 5 years. Now, everybody loves football. I'm not suggesting that we get away with football or anything like that. But we have to still understand that it is a growing sport, and we have to look at where our financials are going at and say, you know what, is this a sport of the future or is this a sport of the future? And often the sports that our kids are telling us they want. The only thing else I put on here was one strong opinion. If you build it, they will come. You know, the one thing we met with Todd Reitenauer many months ago, and he said that he didn't know if that would be a sport that would be a high participation in high school. Didn't seem they would be out there. It's easy to ask, to find out, to say it's not something kids would be interested in when we never offered it to them. The fact that we have 75% of our kids in elementary school, before they have to worry about what college recruiters are looking for, what the colleges are looking for on your transcripts and stuff like that, it tells you kids are being forced to go in opposite directions because they don't have the options that they need in the high school level. And again, I'm going to leave this with you, Mr. President. This is all the information I gathered. And I thank you for information. Does anybody have any questions for me at this point?
And maybe you have this on here. I didn't Wait, you said
315. Everything I give you is on those pages.
Okay, yeah. You said 315 schools that either that sanction it or support.
Mr. President, I have one.
Yes.
Thank you for the information and coming out and giving up a night to support kids. My question is, are you planning to share the information you collect, budget recommendations, requests, with the administration or directly with the board? And did I hear you say next month?
Okay. We've been waiting to get all the information from Todd regarding transportation, costs for the rental of facilities. Just getting everything together, we want to come to you with a very finished financial program rather than nickel and dime you. I know we've been coming every month, but we want to make sure you understand how sincere we are. We just want to give it to you finalized.
Yeah, I appreciate all the legwork. My question is, who's going to see that? Are you going to share that with Mr. Reitenauer first or here? Okay. So we'll see it. Okay. That's all I need. Thank you.
Okay, good. Great.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Okay, Matt, if you want to do it, go ahead and do the presentation, and if they show up, you know, we'll embarrass them.
I think they might be like online virtual students who just...
Maybe they'll be virtually.
Oh, that's fine. Sorry. Been hanging around Mr. Star a little bit too much.
Or maybe they're in California or something.
But they come back
San Diego. We've got them on the screen.
Our students of the month for the month of March were Rebecca Davis and Logan Middlecoff. Both individuals certainly represent the characteristic of the month, which was that of positive attitude. Both are heavily involved not only in school but outside of school in their community as well. Both highly active in their church youth groups. Rebecca actually started a youth ministry here too during our Me Day clubs that we have. So awesome kids. Wish they could be here so you could see them and put a face to a name. But unfortunately, I apparently did not do my job well enough tonight, so I apologize for that, but we'll make sure that we do get them recognized in front of their peers. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Sanger. If I could take a minute and thank Mr. Sanger, too. He started this 2 years ago, and by committing himself to this, he's now committing himself to another meeting out of a month, too. So even when the students aren't here, Mr. Sanger has been. So I want to thank Matt for that. It's a little bit of extra effort, but it goes a long way in recognizing students, so we appreciate that. And I danced enough, and now we got one.
You're good timing.
Logan, you can certainly stay standing. Okay. This is Logan Middlecoff. He is our male student of the month. Logan, you want to go over to Dr. Hollister? He has a certificate for you and a medal. And then he'll ask you to shake the hands of the board members. As I mentioned, Logan is actively involved in his church youth group. He also played percussion for Singing in the Rain. You may have seen him down in the pit. And he is looking forward to attending Westchester University, where he plans in majoring in exercise science and possibly minoring in music. So he's going to be a busy young man over the course of the next few years. So congratulations to Logan.
And Logan, if I could just add to that, I appreciate all the work you've done too. Obviously, when you're recognized by the administration and the teachers, you're standing out in some way, and that just doesn't happen by accident. Even God-given talents don't make that happen. It requires some effort and some work and some tenacity. So on behalf of the school district and as the superintendent, I want to thank you and thank your dad for being here tonight and for all the work that you've done to make yourself look good and to make our school district look good as well. So thank you.
Okay, Mr. Ramsey, would you want to?
Okay, thank you. As I said earlier, we have Lauren Eby from RBC Capital Markets and Rhonda Lord from Cable Kalanomi and Lord to present a information on a possible refunding.
Good evening. Keith said, my name is Lauren Eby, and I'm with RBC. I know some of you are used to seeing Ken Phillips, but we are splitting duties tonight, and he always likes to send me to my alma mater. Anyway, so nice to see you all here this evening. Rhonda and I are here to talk about the refunding of your 2010 A bonds. We met with your administration last month to discuss the opportunity and talk to them about coming back this month to do some legal action in order to get the process started, in order to hopefully save you some money on your 2010 A bonds through a bond refinancing. There's about $12.5 million left on that series. The final maturity is in February of 2023. So it's a little less than 10 years. We're in the, you know, about 9-year range, and rates in that range are very attractive, both through the capital market side, like the bonds you currently have, and also in the bank financing side. So the legal documents, if you choose to enact them tonight, allow us to go down a dual track of looking at both bank bids and at bond issue as well. It allows us to split the bond issue into more than one series of bonds in order to get the benefit of the bank qualification, which I know we've talked about here in the past, but just as a refresher, that is, if you as an issuer put new bonds into the marketplace of $10 million or less in one calendar year, institutions like banks can buy those bonds and get a tax credit on them. So when they get a tax credit, they are willing to pay or to accept a lower interest rate from you. So all that means is basically it's about a 10 or 15, maybe 20 basis point difference between bank qualified and what we call non-bank qualified rates. So if you keep your new issue at $10 million or less for this calendar year, you haven't issued any bonds in 2014, we can realize those additional interest rate savings. When we reviewed the opportunity with your administration last month, we were looking at about $350,000 in savings just on a $10 million piece, which is close to 3.6%. Just to give you a benchmark, the industry standard for something like this for an advance refunding is 2 to 3%. We usually like to say at least 2.5%, so you're well in excess of what everybody else in the industry would consider meaningful or savings that you should move forward at. And in fact, since we met with your administration, interest rates have moved even a little more in your favor for the borrowing side, not for the investment side, sorry, Keith. And so you're maybe looking at more like $400,000. So we're talking meaningful dollars here, I think, for your budget, and it would be a one-time savings like any other bond issue we've done. And those numbers that I discussed are net of all issuance costs as well. So like I said, should we receive formal approval to move forward tonight, we actually have a call in to have a conference call with some banks tomorrow morning to talk about rates and see where they stand, kind of weigh them versus bond rates and start moving forward with the process. Unless anyone has any specific questions on the numbers, I can turn it over to Attorney Rhonda Lord for discussion of the resolution itself.
Just, I guess I'm in bonds, not something that I'm real well versed on, but I know there's different grades of bonds, mm-hmm. ratings based on the financial.
Yep.
I mean, where are we at in that regard?
You're very high. You have a double A from Standard & Poor's, and the majority of the issuers we work with, in fact, I think we pulled this information when we did the 2013 issue. You are in the top probably 10% of all districts in the state. AA is just one step down from AAA. So you're very highly rated. You won't need bond insurance because of that. Typically, you need bond insurance if you're A plus or lower, but you're two notches above A plus. So you should receive some very aggressive bids in both circumstances.
They look at things like cash reserves and that mm-hmm. kind of thing, I guess. Okay. Yeah, and that's compliments to Keith for helping put us in that position.
Will our settlement costs be less if it's taken up by a bank?
Settlement costs are typically a little less for a bank loan versus a bond issue, but you have to weigh that against interest rates for bond issues are usually a little lower than they are than what you get from the bank. So we have to run a calculation, well, if you pay a little bit more at settlement but you're getting better interest rates from the bonds, then that's the, you know, and you're saving more money that way, that would be the route you'd want to go. Conversely, let's look at what the banks are willing to bid, and if they come in and the lower settlement costs are for the higher interest rate, maybe by a margin that the bank would bid, is offset by the lower settlement costs, then, you know, we'd go with that route. And that's why we want to have a discussion with the banks and talk to our underwriting desk to see really kind of live rates and what we would expect. But in order to do a bond issue, you'd have to pay Standard & Poor's a rating fee. If we went the bank route, you wouldn't have to pay that fee, and that's about a $9,000 or so, 9 to 10, that you would avoid. There'd be some filing fees. You wouldn't have to incur QSIPs and that sort of thing. So they're comparable, but perhaps a little less for a bank loan.
The only thing I wanted to add to that is the $400,000 is gross savings. The state will take their piece of the pie, if you will, and they're going to take about 30%. So our net realization to the district is about $280,000 to $300,000. So.
Is there any difference in taxing versus bond or what's a bank?
No, they would both be tax exempt instruments. We do bank financing in the tax exempt. We would send out a bid or ask for a bid that was a tax exempt loan from the banks. Which is probably a good segue for Rhonda.
Great, thank you.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. I've given you each the resolution, which I'll ask you to consider. This is the document that you would file with the Department of Community and Economic Development if you approve the resolution tonight. They require very specific things in the resolution in order to approve the borrowing. So I will go through it quickly. I'm not going to go through each paragraph, but if you have any questions, please stop me at any time. The first page and a half of the background, and as Lauren said, it's the purpose of the financing is to refund the 2010 A bonds. And this first page and a half talks about the outstanding 2008 bonds and what is left of those. If you go to section one on page two, where the actual substance of the resolution begins, section one just authorizes the issuance of notes, and section two sets forth that the maximum amount of the notes will be $15,115,000. We use a maximum number because in this case, since we're not sure exactly what the interest rates will be, what the financing structure will be, we have to pump it up a little bit so that it gives RBC the ability to negotiate with the banks and the if they would issue bonds to play with the interest rates in different borrowings. So this just gives them a little bit more flexibility. We don't anticipate that it'll be that high, but at least it gives them the flexibility. And this will be filed with DCED. It'll be approved at the $15 million. If you then issue bonds and it's much lower than that, we will file with DCED and let them know what the actual borrowing will be. Section 3 just sets forth that the borrowing will comply with the Debt Act and that there's going to be an overall savings to the school district. Skip ahead to Section 6. It sets forth that the notes will be sold by private sale by negotiation. And Section 7 determines to accept the purchase proposal of RBC Capital Markets. That purchase proposal is attached to the resolution as Exhibit B. Again, it's a pretty generic purchase proposal at this point because we don't know the actual specifics of the bond issue. But being that that is generic, if you look at the second paragraph of Section 7, it sets forth that before there is any actual bond issuance or any closing on any notes or bonds, Mr. Ramsey will have to approve an addendum to the purchase contract. So not until he approves anything will there actually be any bonds issued and any closing or any cost incurred by the school district. Section 10 is your budget covenant, setting forth that you'll provide enough money in your budget each year to pay the principal and interest on the bonds. Section 11 is a provision setting forth that the maximum interest rate will be 8%. Again, this is a maximum rate. We don't anticipate it being anywhere near this. Excuse me. It just gives RBC a little flexibility in negotiating and setting the interest rate. Sometimes purchasers would like to have pay premiums and get a, excuse me.
Now you'll take it.
Borrowers or issuers, investors in the primary market occasionally require or prefer premium bonds, is what I'm saying. And in those instances, They give you more dollars up front in exchange for actually a lower interest rate. And so on occasion, you might have a premium bond in the 5% range, even though the actual realized interest cost to you would maybe be 2.5 or something like that. But the stated coupon, which is the cash flow portion, we cannot exceed what is the stated maximum in any year or overall. So by putting in an artificially high number, it just gives us that flexibility, knowing that if we sold your bonds at 8%, there wouldn't be any savings and there wouldn't be a deal anyway to begin with.
Thank you. I apologize. I'm just getting over pneumonia and strep throat, so the more I talk, the more that occurs. Moving ahead, Section 12 just sets forth that the bonds will be as attached in Exhibit C to the resolution. Section 14 sets forth that the bonds will be issued in book entry only form. Section 15 is your covenant to create a sinking fund. Again, that's just a requirement under the Debt Act. It's where you will pay the money to pay the principal interest on the bonds. Section 18 just sets forth that upon issuance of the bonds, any bond proceeds will be used only to pay for the redemption of the 2010A bonds and to pay the closing costs of the current issue. Section 19 determines to enter into an escrow agreement with Fulton Bank. Again, that's just another requirement under the Debt Act and also under your prior bonds that if you're going to call the bonds early, you need to have an escrow agreement, setting those funds aside so that they can only be used for that redemption. Section 20 is your tax covenant. That's the covenant that you won't do anything to cause the bonds to be taxable arbitrage bonds. And finally, Section 27 is a covenant to comply with the rules of the Securities and Exchange Commission. And those rules require you to provide continuing disclosure for the benefit of the bondholders. And Mr. Ramsey takes care of that every year. That is pretty much the substance of the resolution. Attached are some exhibits. Exhibit A is the maximum debt service schedule. Again, that's at the maximum $15 million and the 8% interest rate. Exhibit B is the note purchase agreement with RBC. And then Exhibit C is an actual sample note that will be issued it'll be modified depending on the type of issue we do, but it'll be substantially in that form. So if you approve this tonight, we will go ahead and advertise that it was approved in the paper, and then we would file this with DCED. We would get it back in approximately 20 days, and then RBC would be working on things in the meantime when we could close much quicker by having this done up front. Does anybody have any questions at all?
Just on the, and I'm probably just not reading it here, but we're keeping the maturation date really the same as what existing.
Yep.
So we're not
extending the life of it at all.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. All right. I guess there are no other special presentations this evening. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda passes. We've got a lot of school down here. Okay. Randy's tied up right now. Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau.
We did have a brief meeting on Wednesday, March 19th. The majority of the meeting was to review the audit report. And again, the tax bureau received another outstanding report, so they're doing a great job. Very accommodating from the auditors, as well as their early transition into the Act 32, which is the countywide tax collection. So that's my report.
Any questions on the Tax Collection Bureau? All right. Lancaster Lebanon, IU 13, Mr. Urban.
We had our meeting on April 9th, 2014. We approved $8.8 million in disbursements. The business services approved 5 new or extensions to existing contracts. Early Childhood and Education Services had 2 new contracts approved. Instructional Services had 4 new or extensions to existing contracts. And the HR Committee approved 2 new contracts. We had 6 resignations, 3 retirements, 1 termination, 4 new hires, 8 new hires, 20 change of positions or salaries, and 2 leave of absences were approved. That's the extent of my report. If anyone has any questions on any of the information I've handed out or anything I've said, I'll be glad to try to answer those questions at this time.
No questions on the IU? Okay. Thank you for doing that for us. Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Redd.
The JOC met on Thursday, March 27th. The meeting opened with Mrs. Roth and several students giving an overview of the Skills USA organization. Just a couple of bullet points. There are Skills USA organizations at all 3 campuses, and 100% of the members of classes are members of the Skills USA program. The students presented a slideshow that presented some of the highlights, highlighting some of the things that happened within Skills USA, and just their bullet points from that. Skills USA is leadership, team building, presentation, motivation, reverence, competition, and activism. I had talked last month a little bit about the local winners, and then they go on to states, and then from state competition, perhaps on to the national competition. So it's an exciting program. The students who did the presentation, again, were very excited about it, were very upbeat, and very proud to share about what they were doing. In terms of other news, the superintendent of record, who is Dr. Gerald Huskin, reported that the CTC is going to put together some kind of training for over the summer to help sending districts guidance counselors become more aware of what the CTC has to offer. The programs are growing and expanding, and so many of them are adding college credit options, and so they really, and actually he said the sending superintendents have really asked for that so that there's more information about what is available. So they're going to put that together for over the summer. I think he used one of the words he used was like a boot camp kind of training. I don't know what that means for staff, but they're getting together something. Enrollment for the coming year, there are only a very few flagged programs that don't have the minimum number to run yet, but recruitment is still continuing. Numbers as of March 27th were within 15 of last year's numbers, and last year's enrollment numbers were some of the highest they've been for years. So they're pretty confident that most of those programs will run because they'll get more students. And as some students don't get their first choice, they'll be helping them choose second choices, and so that they're pretty confident that those programs will run. There's a meeting this Thursday night, so I'll have more information about that at the April meeting. And that concludes my report.
Okay, any questions for the CTC? Thank you for serving on that as well. Legislative, Mr. Wenzel.
Yes, legislature is in recess to the week of April 28th. Charter school reform, though, continues to be on hold in Harrisburg. And expect no movement in this bill until try to come to agreement on reform provisions, but also until the budget, until the legislators decide on what direction they're going to do with the budget, then we could see the charter school reform move forward in the Senate and the House. It was announced this week that for the Farmstead Homestead or the gaming revenue, is expected to be about $779 million available for property tax relief this year. Last year it was about $778.1 million. So just guessing that our share would remain about the same. We'll know that in early May after the counties report the number of homeowners who have signed up for property tax relief. I believe ever since this has come forward, we've averaged around the low 60s per household, roughly. The average in the state is around $200 per household across the state, for information. Also, on Wednesday, April the 30th, Senate Bill 76, which is a proposal to eliminate property taxes and shift a significant burden of funding of public schools and various state and local taxing mechanisms will be discussed. So that's something to keep an eye on the middle part of next week as that moves forward. And that concludes my report.
All right. Thank you. Any questions or comments? I did sit in on a meeting and the discussion on SB 76. Some of the local legislators were there. And made it sound like even if it does somehow make it out of Senate, which they don't think it will, it's dead in the House. But we'll see. They've been talking about property tax reform almost as long as they've been talking about Route 23. So I don't know if I'll see either one in my lifetime.
That's probably right. That's pretty good.
But we'll, yeah, I guess it'd be remains to be seen. So. All right, I guess we're now at the superintendent's report. Dr. House.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a couple of items of recognition, which I'm excited to share with you. If you have not been reading the papers and getting the updates, in no specific order, I have three different groups of students that I'd like to recognize and the teachers who are assisting them. The first has to do with the Science Olympiad. We still participate in the Science Olympiad. Last month, 15 students from Garden Spot High School went over to Millersville University for the annual Science Olympiad competition. Four of the students were awarded medals for their competitions. Joy Thames, Natalie Zemer, both seniors took third place in designer jeans. These aren't the jeans you wear. That would be a different competition. They were required to take a test at a competition on subjects such as how DNA replicates, different types of inheritance, mutations in genes, and many other topics which I cannot explain any further than that. But these guys sound really smart to me. And they're doing well, and they're obviously a product of our science curriculum and program. Benjamin Martin, a senior, and Mara Snader, a freshman, took fourth place in a water quality exercise. In this competition, students were required to study subjects such as an estuary and marine ecology, coral reef ecology, and water monitoring, and do an analysis. They were coached. The kids were coached by both Kathleen Cassidy, who's a science teacher, as well as Manfred Eller, who you've met on numerous occasions. So congratulations to the science department and for those students competing at Millersville and, again, representing our high school well. The second group of students that I'd like to recognize are the Technology Student Association Award winners. Chris Hare and Riley Cole and Robbie Jacobs attended the state conference, the state competition in Seven Springs. This is a competition close to my heart, as I was an advisor for this group many, many years ago and actually sat on the board of directors as well for the Technology Student Association at Seven Springs. And at that time, 20 years ago, we discussed what would happen if we ever outgrew that facility and never thought we would. They are now outgrowing that facility, so they're going to be shopping around. According to the teacher, Mr. Stitzer, there were over 2,000 students competing at this competition, which is really cool. Our kids did well. Chris Hare took first place in the flight endurance and materials processing categories. Both of these categories are extremely difficult to place in, with over 50 contestants in each of the competitions. The icing on the cake for Chris, this is according to Mike Stitzer, was that he earned a $1,500 scholarship from Clark Associates and just missed earning a $5,000 scholarship again from Park Associates. So Mike Stitzer's email was, you could read the energy in the email, and I'm reading it to you, did really well. Mike indicates that all three guys have been accepted in post-secondary technology-based programs for next year. So we're excited to report that information. The last group of students I'd like to recognize are from New Holland, New Holland Elementary School. As you are aware, our chess team, the director of our chess team resigned earlier in the year, and I am proud of the two coaches who picked up the ball, Jason Sugar and Jason Karcheski. They picked up the sort of this informal chess group that got started out in New Holland several years ago, has become a dynasty. Our team was the A team group was Ben Bowie, he's a sixth grader, Joe Sharp, he's a fifth grader, Mason Grayville, a fifth grader, and Annie Colcarney, a fourth grader, and they won first place at this competition that took place at the IU. There were dozens of teams there, and our guys took first and second place. Our B team, as they're called, this was the guys who don't win as quickly or as well. They took second place, and those kids were Sophie Gee, sixth grader; Colin Howe, fifth grader; Nathaniel Simonis, a fourth grader; and Jack Brugerman, a fourth grader. Second place at this little informal group that's gotten together in the county. It just all started sort of accidentally, and now it's become a pretty serious thing in the county. So it's exciting to watch these guys. I know whenever you go over there, they want to challenge you. Like I'm supposed to take on the champion. I'm a little concerned. So we'll see. I'll let you know how that works out. The last thing I have is not a student recognition. I'd like to recognize Mr. Ramsey. I had received in the mail, and I'll let Keith pass this on to you. The Pennsylvania Association of School Business Officials updates their profession by holding their members to certain standards. Keith was recently granted a renewal of the status of Pennsylvania Registered School Business Administrator for a period of 4 years. You are to be complimented, meaning me, to be complimented for having a member on your administrative and supervisory staff who meets the rigid personal, ethical, and professional standards established by the program. In order to be granted the professional registration status by PASBO, school business officials must meet high personal, ethical, and professional standards established by the registered program. These include formal education, experience, and continuing education. Once attained, the registration must be renewed every 4 years through a program of professional development. So I want to compliment Keith for earning this certificate, which I'm going to have him pass to you and offer my congratulations. We'll make sure that gets hung up in his office. And that concludes my report, other than to say we do have a need for an executive session to discuss negotiations, personnel matters, plural, and potentially one student matter. That concludes my report.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Hollister. Any other questions or comments for the superintendent's report? All right. Any other announcements for the board this evening? Okay. We would look for a motion to adjourn.
You have a motion.
And is there a second?
Second.
Just brought the guy first. All in favor, say aye.
All right.
Post. We are adjourned. Make sure you check out this.